Campus 103.7 presents a collaboration between me, Patricia Salomone, and my friend Stephen Mangione for the reviewing of the book The Path to Redemption, A Journey to the End of the Earth by Stephen Mangione. This is another review in the series A Book, A Thousand Stories. Listeners may remember that we left Maria and James about to attend Mass in the quaint village of Ossebriero. Both felt the need for a spiritual moment, but while Maria was thankful for the wonderful gift of love received during the Camino, James was in turmoil, with a multitude of different conflicting feelings. Terrified as he was of which would be her reaction on what he was about to confess to her. Holy Mass ended in the traditional way of the Camino de Compostela, the priest's blessing to all pilgrims. The moment of truth has come for James, and as he leaves the church with Maria, James leads her towards a bench partly hidden amongst the trees, where with a downcast look he begins to say, "I too came to walk the Camino for a reason, Maria. I have been wanting and needing to tell you for some time, since I have come to know you and to love you. After what you told me, I have to do it now. I have to do something that is going to be very painful for both of us." Maria listens intently, while James begins to tell of how, back in Malta, after a bad day at the office, he was driving home. Faster than usual, as I rounded a bend, someone suddenly stepped right in front of my path. I slammed the brakes on. It was impossible for the car to stop in time, and my car hit the person that was crossing the road. It was an elderly lady. I don't know what came over me. I just panicked. I saw my life in ruins, and before I knew it, my right foot came to rest on the accelerator pedal, and my car just moved away from the scene of the accident. We can just imagine Maria's shock, her disbelief and her disappointment. Tears ran down her cheeks for the rekindled pain for her mother's tragic death, and tears of disappointment in this man whom she thought the world of, who she hoped could be the man of her life, the father of her children, and who now reveals himself as hiding such a terrible deed. "Oh, no, 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 my poor mama." Her natural reaction was to push James away, to refuse any form of comfort from him. As he moved to put his arm around her to comfort her, she pushed him away. Go, please, go, go. James walks away into the dark in deep desperation. James knew his abominable deed was unforgivable. Yet he hoped Maria could see through all this and realize that deep down he was not a bad person. He walked away alone in the dark, in the periphery of the village. He then looked for Maria at the albergue, but he did not find her. Finally, he walked into a tavern and he drank himself to oblivion. When somehow he got back to the albergue, he was somewhat relieved to find Maria asleep on her bunk bed. And he too fell into an exhausted, disturbed sleep, filled with nightmares and physical and emotional pain. One of the worst nights in his life. The author now reveals an insight into psychology, as he gives us a very contemplative description of how James felt. His despair, his hope, his insecurity, his human weakness. The description of Maria's reaction of anger and scorn is also witness to the author's introspection and attention to human frailty. James begs for forgiveness and tries to find and give Maria an explanation. There was no way he could have avoided running over the person crossing the road. But Maria's natural reaction is refusal, hostility, almost disgust. Maria wants to be alone. She ignores his pleading, and she walks away from him, resuming her camino, without looking back, just striding ahead, following the yellow arrows of the camino. James followed her, resuming the walk. It was a very misty morning, and there were times when he could barely see her ahead of him, increasing his fear of losing her. As long as he could keep her in sight, he felt that there was a thread joining them, that there was still hope. As Maria continues her walk along the Camino, James follows at a distance, stopping when she stops in the hope of seeing a glimmer of forgiveness in her eyes. But she avoids him, making him feel ostracized, excluded. While she may understand that the accident was partly her poor mother's fault, she considers him utterly despicable for having left her mother unassisted to die. How could she ever forgive? How ever trust him again? Maria contemplates how, in a relatively short span of time, she had fallen deeply in love with James. How she loves his kindness, his intelligence, his caring for her, his concern for others, and his calmness. How could the man she so loved be so contemptible? Then Maria remembers her own guilt. Had she not been distracted, her mother could well be alive today. And it struck her that, unlikely as it seemed, her mother's death and how it happened, in a strange way, had created the bond between her and James. A bond of guilt. The author writes that Maria too suffered feelings of indecision, of fear and conflict. She even considered abandoning her quest of walking the Camino to find redemption. But by now she was at Sarria, just 100 kilometers from Santiago. At this point, giving up would not be a solution. So, notwithstanding her present state of despondency, notwithstanding that she no longer felt the joy and enthusiasm of her early days on the Camino, she trudged on, hardly speaking to anyone, even though, as she walked past Porto Marín and Palas de Rey towards Santiago de Compostela, the path became crowded with many more pilgrims.
The town of Sarria lies just over 100 kilometers from Santiago. For a pilgrim to qualify to receive a Compostela when he arrives in Santiago, he must show that he has walked at least 100 kilometers. For this reason, Sarria has become a popular starting point for many pilgrims. The Compostela, as I had described earlier in the series, is a certificate stating that the pilgrim in whose name it is issued has walked the Camino. It is a beautiful document, written in Latin and printed on parchment, with illustrations from a 15th century breviary and one of St. James, much like the handwritten illuminated documents of the pre-printing era. The Camino becomes very much busier after Sarria, as many pilgrims who do not have the time or the inclination to walk too far, but still want to show off their Compostela document, start the Camino here. In fact, it can be almost crowded at busy times of the year. Fortunately, although pilgrims tend to start walking at more or less the same time in the morning, as the day wears on, they tend to get separated due to different walking speeds or levels of stamina. So one could still find some peace and solitude, even on this very busy stretch. It becomes much harder to find accommodation in the albergues, where in most cases one cannot pre-book, and which operate on a first-come, first-served basis. So there is a tendency for pilgrims to leave as early as possible in the morning, to be among the first to arrive and be assured of a place. I have been asked whether the town of Sarria may have any direct connection with the church bearing the same name in Floriana, Malta, although this is pronounced differently. I believe it is just a matter of a name in common. The knight of the order who had first built the church on the site there was the Navarrese Fra Martin Sarria, from the land of Aragon. During the plague of 1675, as part of the intercession to the Holy Mother of God and the Immaculate Conception, to whom the church is dedicated, the order had decreed the rebuilding of the church and the holding of a solemn procession to the church, which also features the images of Saint Sebastian, Saint Roque, and Saint Rosalia, protectors against the plague, all painted by Mattia Preti.
James continues following Maria at a distance, not sure of whether Maria sees him following her, as he keeps away a short distance behind her. She does not acknowledge him in any way, and this increases his misery, especially in the evenings when they reach the arrival posts on the way. He fears losing her, as he is not sure which albergue she lodges at. He felt that by now she hated him, and he wondered if, on returning to Malta, she would report him to the police. He believed she would not do that, but he did not really care. Perhaps this was his punishment. Surely, losing Maria was his nemesis catching up with him. Although he longed for the peace and quiet of the less trafficked paths along the Camino, the mass of people moving together towards the final goal had its fascination. However, at this stage, the Camino crisscrossed a busy highway, which was unpleasant and even dangerous. In fact, James noticed, with some apprehension, that ahead of him walked a young mother, followed by her 7 or 8 year old son. How could a mother take a child of this age on such a grueling walk? He asked himself. He noticed that the woman crossed the road to go look at some shops. Her child carried on walking, not having realized that his mother had stopped. He panicked as he could not see her anywhere. And then he spotted her across the road some distance back, and he ran towards her, stepping onto the busy road. This is when tragedy struck. James heard the sound of a fast approaching car and instinctively ran towards the child. There was no way he could catch him and bring him back to the pavement, so he pushed him hard out of the path of the fast car. At that moment, he felt himself lifted up into the air as the car hit him. In pain and unable to move, James lay on the asphalt. He was aware of people bending over him, but a haze came over him, and a few seconds later he slipped into unconsciousness. A woman screamed, thinking him dead. The word went round that a pilgrim had been injured. Maria heard the scream and she looked back. She could not really see what had happened, but she decided to go back in case her help was needed. As Maria approached the group that had gathered at the accident site, she wondered who had screamed, what had happened. She saw a young woman run towards the child and hug him tightly. She then noticed that there was a person lying on the floor. Something surely was seriously wrong. She realized that the man was injured and there was blood. As she approached the scene, She realized in horror that it was James. She pushed her way towards him, lifted his head, and felt his breath. She screamed for an ambulance while a man told her, Senora, he was hurt when he saved that young boy. James had saved the boy's life without caring for his own. Maria was under shock, trembling uncontrollably, when she succeeded in getting the paramedics to allow her to join James in the ambulance that took them to the hospital. The screaming ambulance siren, the stress of the fast drive, the shock and apprehension took her mentally back to when she accompanied her mother to hospital back in Malta after the accident. As they entered the hospital, she saw the name Hospital Clinico Universitario de Santiago de Compostela. James and she had, after all, arrived in Compostela together, but in the most unexpected and unwanted manner. Everything around her seems surreal. James is wheeled into an operating theater. Maria remains alone in an unknown hospital in an unknown city. Nervously, she is pacing up and down the emergency waiting room. People around her seem engrossed in their own trouble and worries. Nurses busily pass to and fro in the corridor. Every so often, she would get up and pace up and down the room and the nearby corridor. At intervals, she would go to the nurse's station to ask what was going on, and was told each time that as soon as there was any news, she would be informed. ¶¶ Finally, after what seemed like an interminable period of time, a young doctor came up to her. Join us next week on Monday at 18:30 hours to proceed in this tale of love, human weakness, human generosity, redemption, and forgiveness. Remember, you can listen to a repeat of this episode on Thursday at 15 hours. Goodbye for now. Stephen and I wish you well.